Shalom to all. Today's house is Basad Daf Pei Dalet, and we are starting Pei Gimel Amud Beis. About two lines up from the bottom, right at the beginning of the Gemara, after the Mishnah. And today's house is sponsored by Leilu Nishmas Mars Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now, at the end of the Mishnah, we begin discussing Aina when we have a transaction that took place, a buyer and a seller, and one person was frauded, he was cheated, he was a subject of Aina. Who's allowed to back out over here? And the general idea is, whoever was a subject of Aina, he's allowed to back out. The other guy is not allowed to. Now, in the Mishnah, as we had already explained, we're not talking about the classic Aina as in a discrepancy of a shtos, a sick. Rather, just a general idea that somebody was frauded. But now in the Gemara, we're going to be using a sixth. So Gemara tells us, Amar Chizza says, Machar la'ishama chamesh b'sheish. The seller sold something, and its value was really five, but he sold it for six. And that's classic, I know, that's a discrepancy of a six. And then what happened? V'hukar, the value of this item went up, v'amar al shmaina, and now it's worth eight. Minus ana. Who's the subject of I know over here? Lo'keach, the buyer is the subject of I know. And lo'keach yachalachzer boy, v'lo'ymeicher. The lo'keach is allowed back out, and the meicher is not allowed to. Now the chiddush over here is that you might say, since lo'keach is the subject of a Haina, because he really should have paid five, but he ended up paying six, and therefore, since he's allowed to back out, the sale is not considered completed, and now, before he backed out, the price went up to eight. That's how everything's reversed, and turns out that the seller is the one that's the subject of a Haina, because he only received six for this item, and it's actually worth eight. So maybe the Meicher should be allowed to back out. Rav Chisa's Chiddush is that no, only Lekech's allowed to back out. And why is that? Mishum paid down on off on top to Amar Le, that's because Lekech tell the Meicher, Il Loy Nisan, if you would not have cheated me, Loy Hava Matzah Sadarta Bacha, you wouldn't have been able to back out. Hashtag Nisan, now that you did cheat me, I was the subject of Aina from the get-go. Matzah Sadarta Bacha, all of a sudden now you think you could back out because it happens to be the price went up, so now you want to say that you're the subject of Aina? No, the only reason why we even have this discussion of someone backing out is because I was the subject of Aina in the beginning, and therefore I'm the only one that's allowed to back out. And Vitana Tuna, Atana taught this, that's in our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Yafas v'nimsu rais, if they agreed upon selling something of superior quality, and it turns out that he received something of inferior quality, Lekech yachalachzer boy, Lekech is allowed to go back on it, v'loy meicher, not the meicher. Now, Amar Chizur Chizur said the same exact thing, just the opposite. Machal Hashava Sheish B'chamesh, let's say he sold him something that's valued at six, but he only sold it for five. And that's classic Aina. It's just that here, it's the meicher that's the subject of Aina. V'hosel, and then it went down a price for Amdu al Gimel, and it was worth only three. Minas Anu, who's the subject of Aina here? Meicher, it's the seller. And meicher yachalachzer boy, v'loy lekech, the seller's allowed to back out, and not the buyer. And once again, you might have the same cheshbon over here that since the seller's allowed to back out, the sale is not considered completed, and therefore lekech now has the ability to back out as well, because it turns out that he way overpaid due to the fact that the price dropped so much. Still, only the meicher is allowed to back out to Amar Le, because the meicher could tell the lekech, Il loy nisan, if you wouldn't have frauded me, you wouldn't have cheated me, lo have a matzah sadarta b'cha, you never would have thought of being able to go back, you never would have even had a half a minute to back out. Hash the matzah sadarta b'cha, now you think you're going to be able to back out just because I'm able to? Obviously, you're not allowed to. Avatana tuna, we have a Tana that taught this, that's in our Mishnah as well. The next case of the Mishnah was, Rais v'nim su'yafais, if they agreed upon inferior wheat being sold, and it turns out that superior was handed over, meicher yachalachzer boy v'loy lekech, the meicher is allowed to back out, and not the lekech. And now the Gemara asks on these two dinim of Chizda, Mike Mashmalon, what's he trying to teach us? Masnisan he, this is clearly our Mishnah. What type of Chiddush is Rav Chizda teaching us that we don't know from the Mishnah? And the answer is, even Masnisan, if we just had the Mishnah, Havamin, I would think, Dilmud Rav Chizda, Tarvayu Matzi Hadri Behu. Then in Rav Chizda's case, where the price changed after the sale took place, that actually both of them are allowed to back out. And Masnisan also Ashminon, what's our Mishnah talking about? The lekech yachalachzer boy, that only the lekech is allowed to back out. Or in the second case, only the meicher is allowed to back out. And why would I think that? The sakatai the chamina the havamina is mishum dechsib, because the pasuk says ra ra yomer hakaina, the kaina, the buyer always says this is bad, this is bad. What's this referring to? So anyone that lives in Eretz Yisrael or has visited here and has walked into a store and tried to bargain with the proprietor, you'll see this right away. You want to buy something, the guy tells you this is the best in the country. I have the best schayra, I have the best stuff. You'll find garbage by everyone else. I only bring the top quality stuff. That's basically him saying that he's selling yafais. Now in order for you to try to get a better price, what do you tell him? What are you talking about? I went to three stores away and he had something that was way better than this, and he was selling this product for much cheaper. Basically, you're the kind of saying rah-rah, that what you're selling me is not so good. And therefore, in our Mishnah, the hafamina would be that if they agreed he was going to sell him yafais, and it turned out to be ra'ais, that the seller's allowed to claim, look, Mr. Buyer, you knew that I wasn't really selling you yafais, because that's just how business goes. I tell you I'm selling you yafais, and you really know that it's not yafais, and you're telling me that it's rice, and you know that it's really not rice, and therefore, when it turns out to be rice, you, Mr. Buyer, can't claim, hey, it's not fair, you sold me rice. You knew that it was rice the whole time. I was just trying to make a sale, so I exaggerated by selling that it's yafais. But again, you knew that it was rice. And again, it would be the same exact thing the other way around. If they agreed that he was going to sell him rice and it turned out to be yafais, the buyer can't claim, look, Mr. Seller, you knew that when I was telling you that this is rice, I didn't really mean it. That was just a way I was getting a cheaper price, and therefore I actually get to keep the yafais that you gave me. In both of these scenarios, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that no, if they agreed upon yafais and it was rice, or if they agreed upon rice and it was yafais, Tafas, the guy who's the subject of Aina is allowed to back out. But I would never know that in Rechitza's case, that when there was an actual price change in the middle, that both of them aren't allowed to back out. The Chiddush of Rechitza is that no, even though there was a price change, only the one that was the subject of Aina is allowed to back out. Everything explained in the Mishnah, Shechamsis, Venimsis, Levan, Vechulu, if they agreed upon red wheat and it turned out to be white wheat, or the other way around, both of them could back out. Now, Amar Papa tells us, Megtani Levana, from the fact that the Mishnah says white, it tells us that this wheat was white. Shmamina, Hai Shimsha, Sumaktihi. That tells us that the sun is red. How do we know that? Well, because Shechamsis is Lashon Ochama, which means sun. And since we know there's only two strains of wheat, white and red, that means that if we're calling one of them white, then the Shechamsis strain of wheat is red, and that means that the sun is red. And Tehdi, you should know, because Samakta Tzafro Panya, that the sun is actually red in the morning and the evening. And if Hadalaka Chazinu Kula Yoima, the reason why it doesn't seem red the entire day is Naharin Du Dloibari, because it's very light outside, and therefore your vision is not clear enough. When you go outside, it's so bright. So if you manage to steal a glance at the sun, you can't see what color it is. It looks white. It might look other colors as well if you stare at it too much. And therefore, you can't judge the real color of the sun during the day. Only in the morning and the evening, you're able to tell that it's actually red. Everything more asked, Macy, we have a braisa that talks about Tsaras, and it quotes a pasuk, Umareu Amak Minar. In one of its descriptions of Tsaras, the pasuk tells us that its appearance was deeper than the skin. And what's the explanation of this? The braisa tells us, Kamare Chama Amuka Menatzel, like the appearance of the sun, which is deeper than the shade. Now, Vahasam Lovenhu, over there, we're talking about white, because Tsaras is white, it's not red, and we're comparing it to the sun. So clearly, the sun is white and not red. So my answer is no. Kamare Chama Vulay Kamare Chama. It's like the sun, but it's not like the sun. Kamare Chama, what we mean to say that it's like the sun is the Amuka Menatzel. The sun is deeper than the shade, if you will. Vulay Kamare Chama, but Tsaras is not like the sun. Dilu Hasam Lavan Vahacha Adaim. Over there, when we're dealing with Tsaras, we're talking about something that's white. Whereas over here, when we're talking about the actual color of the sun, it's red. So we're asked, Lamai Desalaka Daitin Mekara, Hakasam Kotzafro Panya. What was the Havamina of the questioner? We just said before, and we know this to be true, that in the morning and the evening, the sun is red. So how could you suggest that the sun is white? It's obviously red. What was even the Havamina of the question? And the answer is, but Safra the Chalfa Bevar the Gan Eden. The Havamina is in the morning, the reason why the sun is red is because it's passing by the rose garden of Gan Eden, and that's why it gets its red color. And Bepanya, in the evening, the reason why it's red is the Chalfa Pesach the Gehenim, because it's going by the entrance of Gehenim, so it gets its red glow because of the fires of Gehenim. Make it Amri Ipcha, and some say it's the opposite. Then in the morning, the reason why it's red is because it's reflecting off of the western part of the sky, and that's where Gehenim is. And in the evening, the reason why it's red is because it's reflecting off of the eastern part of the sky, which is where the rose garden of Gan Eden is. Either which way, there's a Havamina that there's a totally different reason why it's red in the morning and evening, but really the color of the sun is white. And that's why we answer that no, actually the sun is red and it's not white, and the comparison to Tsaras is something totally different. And we can explain the Mishnah. The last case was if they agree the sale was going to be wine and it turned out to be vinegar, or vice versa, both of them could go back because it's a Mekachtos, it's two totally separate things, wine and vinegar. The Gemara suggests, let's say that our Mishnah is Rebbe Nathrabanan. That wine and vinegar is one min, it's the same exact thing, whereas Rebbe Amar Rebbe says, Shnei Minin, it's two separate Minin. So clear, our Mishnah is Rebbe. The Gemara says, no. I feel the Tamer Rabbanan, we could even say that our Mishnah is Rabbanan. I kind of plead Rabbanan related to Rebbe. The only machlokes the Rabbanan have with Rebbe is El Inyan Meiser Truma. Is only in regards to Truma Meiser, are you allowed to take off Truma Meiser? If one separates Truma Meiser from wine for Chaimetz, or the other way around, is it considered valid? Just like Rabbi Law, Rabbi Law says, how do we know if someone separates Truma from something bad onto something good, it's valid Truma? Because the pasuk says, that you shall not bear sin when you separate its choicest part from it. This is obviously referring to Truma, meaning when a person is separating Truma, he should make sure not to do a sin when he does this. And it's specifically referring to separating Min Hara al Hayafet. Now, in a Kaddish, it's not Kaddish, if it's not valid Truma, Nesiyas Chet Lama, why would he bear sin? Why would he consider like he's doing something wrong? Mikan, from here we learn, that if someone separates from bad for good, Truma, it's valid Truma. And therefore, if someone separates from Chaimetz for wine, it's valid Truma. And that's what the Rabbanim mean when they say it's Min Echad. It's considered the same Min in regards to Truma and Meiser. Aval Eni Mecho Memker, but in regards to buying and selling, when we're dealing with a business deal, L'kuli Alma Eged Eni Chalei Becham Rav Leini Chalei Bechala, we know that in regards to everyone, some people want wine, some people want vinegar. Eged Eni Chalei Bechala Rav Leini Chalei Bechamra. Some people want vinegar and they don't want wine. So obviously, when we're dealing with buying and selling with business transactions, wine and vinegar are considered two totally separate things. And if that's what happened, if that's what the mistake was, wine for vinegar, vinegar for wine, that's considered mekachtos, and both of them are allowed to back out if they want. I'm moving on to another Mishnah. Now we're going to be discussing kinyanim. The Mishnah says, Hamekar Peres Chaveroi, someone who's selling produce to his friend, and they agreed upon a price. The X amount of Peres is Y price. Mashach v'loy modad kana. Let's say the buyer did Mashicha. He pulled the Peres towards himself, even though he didn't measure how many he was pulling. He doesn't know exactly how much he owes yet. He's still kind of them, because since they agreed upon a price, that was already clarified. Now that he did a Mashicha, he pulled them towards himself, he automatically is kind of these pay rise, and he just now has to make a cheshbin of how much he owes. And in the Gemara, we're going to be discussing where exactly he is. Is he in the Rosh Hasharabim, or is he in a Simto, which is like either a side alleyway or a small part attached to Rosh Hasharabim, but doesn't have a din of Rosh Hasharabim? We're just not going to focus on that right now. What about the next part of this? The Mishnah continues, Madad, let's say the Meicher was the one that measured everything out. He took his own kli, his own measuring cup, he measured out how much he was selling, and he put it somewhere, V'loy Mashach, but the buyer didn't do Mashicha yet. Loy Kana, he's not kind of this stuff, because he was the one that measured it, and he didn't do Mashicha yet, so there's no Kenyan. And lastly, if the buyer was smart, he would rent the place where the produce is. Now that's considered his chatzer, and then he's automatically kind of them without having to do anything because they're in his place that he owns. Moving on to the next situation, the Mishnah tells us, if a person buys flax from his friend, he's not kind of them until he moves them from place to place, which basically means he has to do Mashicha. But if what he purchased was still attached to the ground, and all he did was detach a little bit, he's kind of them automatically. And so the Gemara begins by discussing the first part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Asi quoted Rabbi Yechanan, pay attention to the names, Madat v'niach agabi simta, if the meicher measured out some produce and he placed it on the simta, the buyer's automatically kaina. Again, the simta is either a little small alleyway or it's a part that's attached to the Rosh Hasharabim, but it's meant for putting down your packages, so it's not considered Rosh Hasharabim itself. It's more or less Roshos that everyone can use for kinyanim. So according to Rabbi Asi's quote, Rabbi Yechanan, all the seller has to do is measure out how much he's giving and put it on the floor of the simta, and that's already considered to be like the buyer's Roshos, and the buyer's automatically kaina it, even though he never did a Mashicha. So Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Asi is his Rebbe. Shemalei Shama Rebbe, perhaps you, Rebbe, only heard this from Rabbi Yechanan, El B'mayla Sechu Pasai. That's only when he measured it directly into the kupa, into the box, or into the kli of the buyer, but not when he actually put it on the floor. If the seller put it on the floor of the simta, the buyer's not kind of them. So Amalei Rabbi Asi responds to Rabbi Zera, Dami Haim Rabbanon, this Rav, meaning you, Rabbi Zera, seem Kiduloi Gamri Inchi Shmaitza, as if he's never learned anything, meaning you clearly don't know how to learn, because Mayla Sechu Pasai, Memrabai, the simple act of a seller measuring something into the buyer's kupa, does that need a memor? Does that need a special memor from Rabbi Yochanan to tell us that the buyer is kainet? Of course he's kainet. It was measured directly into his kli. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan's din was said in the way that I explained it, says Rav Asi, that the seller measured it out directly onto the floor of the simta, and still the lekeach is kainet. Now the Gemara's question is as follows, Kiblamine, I like Kiblamine. Did Rabbi Zera accept Rabbi Asi's explanation of what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, or no? So Tashma, we've attempted Raya. Dom Rabbi Yane, Amar Rebbe. Rabbi Yane quoted Rebbe saying as follows, and it's important to note that Rabbi Yane was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. So assuming whatever Rabbi Yane holds, that's what Rabbi Yochanan would hold as well. And that would be what Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is. So what Rabbi Yane tells, Chatzar Shotvin, we have a Chatzar that's owned by two partners, Kainin Zemizeh, one's allowed to be kind of from the other. Ma'ala Vagaba Karka, as it's referring to on the Karka, meaning if Reuven and Shimon jointly own a Chatzar, and Reuven's buying something from Shimon, and Shimon simply places it on the floor of the Chatzar, Reuven's Kainit. So that's just like the way Rav Asi explained Rabbi Yochanan, because it's just like putting it on the floor of a Simta. So Gemara says, Lloyd, that's not the understanding. It actually means that he put it into his basket. That when Reuven and Shimon own a chatzar and one's buying from another, and the seller puts it into the kupa, into the basket, into the kli of the buyer, only then he's kainet. But after he puts it on the floor of the chatzar, and it's actually logical to say that. Don't Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have Rabbi Yaakov quoting Rabbi Yochanan saying that madat v'nicha gabi simta loikana. If the seller measured out and put it on the floor of the simta, the buyer is not kind of that. Now kashin adadi, that's clearly a steer in between the members of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Asi quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that if he measured it out and put it on the simta, he's kind of it. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov just quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that he's not kind of it. El Hashem, no, it must be that what's the difference? The Rav Asi's quote Rabbi Yochanan that he is kainet is not talking about putting it on the floor of the simta, it's talking about putting it in the kupa of the buyer, which is on the floor of the simta. And Rabbi Yaakov's member Rabbi Yochanan is talking about where he put it directly on the floor of the simta, and that's why he's not kainet. No, it's a valid raya the opposite way. So we clearly see that Rabbi Asi's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan is not valid. So the Gemara continues discussing this. Tashma, we have an attempted raya from our Mishnah to see if we could prove that this is the way to understand it. What was the second scenario of our Mishnah? Madat v'loy mashach loy kana. If the seller had measured out for the buyer, but the buyer did not do Mashicha, so he's not kaina. Now, my lab basimta, aren't we talking about that this is in a simta? And so we clearly see, once again, not like Rav Asi, that even though the seller measured out and put it on the floor of the simta, the buyer is not kaina that. So Gemara says, Loi, no, we don't have right for our Mishnah. Rosh Hasharabim. We're actually talking about in Rosh Hasharabim. And over there, just putting the stuff on the floor of the Rosh Hasharabim is not going to acquire it for the buyer. Ask the Gemara, Yachi, if that's really so, aim a resha. Take a look at the resha of the Mishnah. What do we say? Mashach v'loy madad kana. That if the buyer did Mashicha, even though he didn't measure how much he was doing Mashicha on, he still kind of everything. And here's the problem. Mashicha Rosh Hasharabim Mikanya. Is Mashicha and Rosh Hasharabim a valid Kenyan? No, it's not. V'abai v'rav adam shavai, both Abai and Rav say, Mesira kind of Rosh Hasharabim b'chatzar she'en eshel shneihem. Mesira, handing over of the object, is a valid Kenyan either in Rosh Hasharabim or in a chatzar that doesn't belong to either of them. Mashicha kind of a simto b'chatzar she'en shneihem. Mashicha, pulling it towards himself, that's a valid Kenyan in a simto or in a chatzar that belongs to both of them. V'agba, and lifting it up, kind Kana B'chol Makom, that's a valid kinyan everywhere, even in Rosh Hasharabim. As we see very clearly, the Mashicha is not a valid kinyan in Rosh Hasharabim. So how can our Mishnah be talking about Rosh Hasharabim if in the Reisha we talk about doing Mashicha and that being a valid kinyan? So my answer is no problem. My Mashach Nami Diktani, what does it mean that he did a Mashicha in the beginning of the Mishnah and he was Kana it? Rosh Hasharabim L'Simta. It means he did a Mashicha from the Rosh Hasharabim into a Simta, and as we just said, Mashicha in a Simta is a valid kinyan. Asking Mari Hachim, that's really so. A Masefa, take a look at the last part of this section of the Mishnah. If the buyer was a Bikeach, Sarchas Makaimon, he would rent the place where this produce is, and then he would automatically be Kane it because it's considered his Chatzar. Well, if he Rosh Hasharabim, if we're talking about him being in Rosh Hasharabim, Miman Agar, who exactly is he renting the Rosh Hasharabim from? It doesn't belong to anyone in particular. It's the Rosh Hasharabim, it's for everyone. So my answer is no problem. Hachikamer, this is really what the Mishnah is telling us in this last part of the first section. The Imber shows Bailimhi, if this whole transaction is taking place in the Rosh Hasharabim of the seller, of the owner, so then in this case, if the buyer was a Pikeach, Sarchas Makaimon, he would rent the place where the produce is from the seller, and that way he would acquire everything without having to make an official kenyan. And bottom line is, we don't have a raya from our Mishnah for Abzeir's explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss kenyanim. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.